What would your financials probably look like in 3 to 5 years? Where are you headed?
It's such a good question. I really don't know. I think if I were to sell at this point, it would probably be sell enough.
Some days we keep on rolling.
All right. Welcome back to Inspired or Acquired. This is the podcast where we interview small business owners, give them evaluation, and ask whether or not they would sell their business. So today we got a fun one. We've got Brian Sullentrop on. He is active on Twitter, and he is a fun guy to follow, and he's a great operator. He runs Elevate and Delegate and has a great offshore recruiting and staffing company. So also joined always by my co-host Clint Fiore. So good to see you guys. Brian, how are you today?
Doing good, man. We did SM Bash a couple of weeks ago, and it was good to see both of you guys there and in person. You know, the Twitter relationships only go so far sometimes, so great to be talking to you today.
Yeah, man, it was great catching up, and we appreciate you coming on. So let's just jump right into this. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your business, and then Clint will take you through a few questions and get you evaluation.
Yeah. So I got into this offshore staffing business because I started a janitorial business back in 2020. I don't know if you guys remember, but there was a global pandemic, and I thought it would be a good idea to go into janitorial. Pretty terrible idea, but what I did was I bought some of those fogging machines. I don't know if you guys remember that. Scam of an operation that was going on, but I partook in that a little bit, and that got my foot in the door to some larger janitorial accounts. So I grew that business in Eastern North Carolina to about 20 employees, and I was doing all the admin myself, and I was hurting bad, as you can imagine, doing all the recruiting, invoicing, bookkeeping, all that kind of stuff. And we weren't really making a lot of money, so I couldn't hire somebody locally. And a friend recommended to hire someone offshore in the Philippines. And I said, what is the Philippines? I do not know what that is. And so long story short, I found myself, you know, finally found some girl in the Philippines that was great, made every mistake that you could do during that process, didn't check her hardware, her internet connection, or, you know, really anything. But I had this girl that was helping me with admin work for like $5 an hour. And it was, I was not doing everything on my own, which was great because I was a new parent at the time for the first time. And it was just crazy at our house. And janitorial, you're working in the morning when your clients are calling you, and you're working in the evening when you're actually doing the work. So it was super long, you know, 18, 20 hour days every day. And so when I hired that girl offshore, I started to help some friends do that. And then that kind of just rolled into Elevate and Delegate. So now I'm been full time in this business for about 2.5 years, done with the cleaning business now. And we've made about 800 and some hires from the Philippines for US-based businesses.
Wow.
Super cool. What happened to the janitorial business?
So my wife graduated from physical therapy school, so she wrapped up her doctorate a couple years ago, which was sweet. But when she did that, we moved from Eastern North Carolina to Charlotte, North Carolina. Because this is closer to family and stuff. So I continued to operate the janitorial business that was in Eastern North Carolina for a while. I shifted my W-2s to contractors. I did some things here and there to make it more reasonable. But it's not a fun business to try and grow and run remotely. Contrary to what Twitter might have you believe, running a remote cleaning business is probably one of the hardest ways to make money. I think it's a great opportunity for people like me in 2020 who are broke or like didn't have anything and wanted to try something out. But this was a much better opportunity for me. So when I moved here, I kind of, as clients left the cleaning business, I just let them go and didn't let the people go and just, you know, it wound down. We shut the cleaning company down this year, and I'm glad for it. Could it have sold for something? I don't know. Clint, you tell me. But the reality was, I think at the size that it was, it would have been more of a distraction to the core business now, which is the staffing.
So when did you start Elevate and Delegate?
So I think December of 2021 or January of 2022. Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah.
Awesome. So, man, you haven't been doing this very long. You have a very impressive growth rate going. I'm looking at the information that you provided to us before the show, and I see you have about 10 employees. You're doing a 700K of revenue and about 350K in profit. Is that correct? Running about a 50% net margin?
So that's actually not correct. I went back and looked at all my beautiful tax docs and everything that Patrick's firm put together for me. And we're closer to 700 revenue, 420 in profit. So yeah, we had a really healthy year last year. We cut a lot of marketing spend and stuff and really tried to focus on just keeping the money.
Right on. Very healthy margins. I love it. And what does your 2024 projection and look like? Like, where do you think you're going to end the year?
Yeah, so finally, we're going to probably see some modest growth instead of some, you know, doubling and, you know, that kind of fun stuff. I think this year will probably be 20 to 25% better than 2023 wrapped up.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've got a ballpark indication for you where I think your valuation probably land if you went to market this year. So if you were like, Clint, for some reason or another, I need to get out. Just need you to take me to market and sell me. I think you would land like somewhere in the 1.3 to 1.7 range if I was just to give you a rough estimate on enterprise value. And for this to be just a glimmer in your eye a few years ago, not knowing where the Philippines was on a map, to having a seven-figure asset here. And you don't have any partners on this, right? Is it just you and your wife that own this?
Right. That's you hit on a good thing. Wife is always a partner in everything. No, yeah. Hashtag no prenups. No, yeah. So that it is crazy, right? I mean, it's been fun.
And do you have any third party debts or anything like that on the business, or did you just bootstrap it from scratch?
I got like 50 grand in student loans, but no, it's bootstrapped. Yeah.
Yeah. So man, I mean, $1.5 million, would that change your life? Would that be helpful? Like, what does that get you excited when you think about that, what you've been able to create in such a short period of time?
Yeah, I mean, it is exciting. I mean, I did the math, you know, living in Charlotte is not, it's not New York, but it's not Kansas where I grew up. Everything's twice as expensive as what I thought. And you know how expensive things are, and like two kids, and I have a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old, and we hope to have more. So money, like I know some people say like, hey, I don't know what I'd do with more money. That's not me. I know what I would do with more money. Like, I would absolutely put the kids in private school. I'd buy a nice house. I'd probably get a pool, and we'd go on some trips. And, you know, we're doing some of those things, but we're not doing them yet. And so it would certainly be life-changing money, right? Like, yeah, my net worth probably a couple years ago was firmly in the negative. Like I said, you know, fresh college grad and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, it'd be awesome. But the big question to me is like, what do I do next? Right. Cause I'm 27, right? Like I have a lot of building left to do. I love talking to people and working on stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think you are in an amazing industry. So I mean, you are positioned in the front of what I would think is a mega trend. And, you know, Michael Girdley, just this week, was posting a few times about how just having a good company or a good manager in a great industry with tailwinds is better than having a great manager or a great company in an industry with headwinds, you know, and feels like you've got a lot of tailwinds, feels like this has room to run. Tell me about your vision for the next 3 to 5 years. Because, I mean, just to sum it up, you're a 27-year-old. You went from negative net worth fresh out of school a few years ago to probably millionaire status by entrepreneurship. And that's a super inspiring story. And you've proven versatility across a couple different industries already at a very young age. But I mean, if you just continue with Elevate and Delegate, executing on your plan, what would your financials probably look like in 3 to 5 years? Like, where are you headed?
It's such a good question. I really don't know. I think if I were to sell at this point, it would probably be sell enough to get somewhat liquid and bring in a partner that really wants to take things to the next level. I recognize my limitations. I recognize I'm more of a zero to one guy, or I don't know the terminology, but the let's get it going and let's get it excited and let's talk to people about it. But I'm not a operations focused guy. I'm not like a super heavy, you know, how you just meet some of these people and their thinking is so clear where they could go from A to Z and how are we going to take this company from 1 million to 5. And that's not as much me. I'm more identifying trends and trying to find those people. So, but if I could find a good, you know, someone to work with me, whether that's a US-based person or an offshore person to really grow this company, I mean, I don't see why we couldn't do, you know, there's just so much opportunity out there. We are such a small part. This is a multi-billion dollar industry. It's so funny to me when I hear, oh, well, there's Support Shepherd and there's, you know, there's Master Thing and there's like, there's all these different companies doing it. Everybody's doing it and it's oversaturated. I'm like, we're talking about human capital.
Yeah, we're like, way early.
This every single company needs these people. And I think it'll be as widely available and widely used as Google Ads is, right? Or any, you know, Facebook marketing. Every company could use at least one offshore resource. Right. And so there's no reason that 5 years from now we couldn't be a $5 million company or 3 years from now. It's more about what does it take to get there?
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to agree. I think we're in the second inning of this 9-inning baseball game when it comes to this trend. You know, I think we're still super early and there's room for lots of winners in this space. When it comes to the inspired or acquired core question, you know, we're trying to get to how do you think through the sale of your business? And do you want to hold it for 10 years or more, or do you want to start positioning yourself for an acquisition? Bryant just brought up a very interesting angle, and it kind of riffs off of what we just saw play out on Twitter last week with the Support Shepherd deal. Is that's called a majority recap, you know, where majority control gets sold and that allows additional growth partners to come in with new capital and kind of take things to the next level. And so Bryant here is 27. He started two companies successfully already, but he's starting to be self-aware enough to say, I may not be the scale-up guy. And for him, a majority recap or minority recap, it just depends on how much of your business you sell, may make sense. Where it's like, I still have a lot to offer. I can still help this company grow, but I might think it's time to take on a partner and go to a higher level. And so that's not really our traditional answer, right, Patrick? You know, it's like we're usually getting either, is it time to sell or is it time to hang on for the long term? But a recap is in between. It's take some chips off the table, but let's find a partner to grow with. And then maybe down the road, we'll get a much bigger sale together than I could have ever gotten separately. And that's an interesting conversation. I've had that conversation with myself many times. I'm sure you have, Patrick, but
yeah, totally.
Yeah. I've heard somebody say, you know, do you want to own 100% of a canoe or a quarter of a yacht, you know, or like one of those analogies is
small
often,
pie, big pie. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, exactly. Brian, like, it's amazing that you've grown to this point. Do you feel like you could do 20% growth consistently yourself, or are you like, I don't know how much more I could grow up myself beyond like 800-900K a year revenue?
I think that we could grow 20% a year probably for the next few years at least with just the current team we have in place and a few more recruiters and maybe, you know, a couple, another one or two account managers. And that wouldn't eat into our margins a ton, you know, pretty much stay, keep margins similar.
Okay. So just for a second, I'm going to pull up this, this Excel doc that we use sometimes to do a little bit of modeling. So average new customer for a placement for you is what? $3,000?
$3,000, yep.
Okay. And then what is your like average cost to deliver that? Like 20, 30% or?
Yeah, probably about 30%, let's say. 30%.
Okay. So we've got penciled in your average customer. So last year you did 700K top line. So you feel like, without a partner, you might be able to sustain like a 20, 25% growth rate over the next few years?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So looking out that way, I mean, when we look at the year 2028 in this scenario, you know, you're doing 2.1 top line. Your margin stays the same. Overhead grows a little bit. You still have, you know, maybe this, I don't know if you're 60%, 50, 60% bottom line would hold, but let's say it's 50%, like, you know, a million falling to the bottom line is pretty impressive. So, I think that's the dilemma there is like, A, what is the valuation at that point? Clinton, feel free to chime in. And then B, it's like, how much faster could you get there if you brought in a growth partner, or is that the place to bring in a growth partner? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. When I look at that model, Patrick, you know, you kind of cross a threshold when you hit that seven figure EBITDA mark. And so he's just squeaking into it 5 years from now under that set of projections. And I think that would give him another turn or two on multiple. So he might be, getting, you know, 5 or 6 million for a business at that point. If he's able to, well, the big question mark for me is, can he sustain that phenomenal margin that he currently has as he scales up? It sounds easy to say, but it's harder to execute. You know, typically you do have some margin compression as you grow, but yeah, assuming he can get that growth rate and that margin, yeah, you could be, you know, go from 1.5 today to 5 million in just a few years, which is, I mean, just a tremendous movement on your net worth and setting your family up really well for financial success there, Bryant. So definitely encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great thing, but it is worthy of thinking about, can you be the one that executes that without a partner, or would a partner help you 2, 3, 4x that, you know, and can you get a 1+1=3 effect with the right growth partner? So that's probably some of the big questions you're going to have to wrestle through. Is that right?
I think so. Yeah. That's the question, right? And I think this year is a big year for us because it's our first year of having to grow on like off of a substantial amount of revenue last year, right? Because last year we basically doubled from last year into the year behind it. We had grown basically 100%, right? And so this year, will we grow 25%, you know, on a much bigger number? You know, that's harder, right? And so we'll see. I'm excited to see how it all turns out. And I think the biggest thing to me is reminding myself that Twitter or whatever is not the world. The world is much bigger than Twitter. And I think all of us should probably take that lesson if we're a little too Twitter brained, is that almost everything that we see and we think is common knowledge to people, ask 10 people today if they use Twitter. Probably none of them do. It's right. Used by such a small amount of people and even smaller amount of business owners, I think. So why can't we just, you know, sell a few more millions of dollars of stuff, of people, yeah. of services. We could do it.
Yeah, totally. One thing we didn't ask was your time. Like, at this point, how many hours a week does the business demand of you right now?
Yeah. So I've delegated a lot. That's in the name of the company, so I better do that.
Yeah.
When I'm trying to really push hard and grow it, I mean, when I'm really doing a lot of business development and networking, it can definitely eat up a full 40-hour week. But realistically, like, the work I need to be doing to really keep this company growing where we've been, I'm probably at closer to 10 to 15 hours a week right now. I've got a side project that I'm also working on right now that's eating up another 10, 15 hours a week. So I'm not working crazy hours. Someone realistically could buy this business and put in an operator and or as an extension of something they're already doing and still maintain the profits. I really think so.
Can I take us one layer deeper here, Bryant?
Let's do it.
I just want to get in your mindset just a little bit. Okay. You've switched from cleaning to offshoring, you know, and is that the right word? Is offshoring a bad word?
I think it's fine. I think it's a fine word to use. Yeah.
Okay. And like, you strike me as a pragmatist, as someone that is practical in nature. You see this companies as you hold it with an open hand and it's serving your lifestyle and your family, but I don't feel like your identity is super wrapped around it and that you're the kind of person I could see you over the course of 30 years being in three or four different industries and not being particularly married to any and kind of flowing wherever it makes sense in a pragmatic, practical way. Is that an accurate assessment as to like the nature of your character?
Yeah, Clint, that's pretty much it. I, like I said before, Midwest kid, dad always taught me like work is called work for a reason. It's not called fun. You know, like you don't need to be passionate about what you do. You need to be passionate about putting food on the table and that sort of thing. It's interesting now to kind of work up the hierarchy of needs and like, okay, I've met some of these levels and what is my self-actualized potential, right? And so that's where maybe I could get into something else that I am more passionate about, or maybe I just let my passions be my passions and go do my hobbies on the side. And I think like many people in the small business world, they do want to see their business as a positive impact on their community and the people that they work with. And I mean, we helped like 300 people get jobs last year. We're helping people a lot. But that just doesn't really hold a candle to like being able to spend, you know, being able to work a relatively conservative amount of hours and being able to spend a lot of time with my kids. So that's kind of what's important to me.
Yeah, I think it's so cool to hear you articulate that, because are you a young millennial? Is that where you're at on the...
Yeah, I'm right on the line. Yeah. Okay. So I think 96, like 95, 96 is the millennial to Gen Z type of thing.
Okay. I think me and Patrick are elderly millennials. We're the elders of the group.
Yeah.
But it's so funny to hear you articulate so perfectly kind of the millennial Gen Z view of business. And it's very much about lifestyle. It's very practical and you have a little bit of, you know, entrepreneurship ADD where, you know, you could definitely start up 10 companies, shift what you're doing, do what makes sense. And you view business as kind of a way to make money, but it doesn't define you. Like your particular business doesn't define you. Whereas, you know, we talked to boomers on the show that, you know, they really struggle with separating themselves from the business, feels like ripping out a part of who they are in a very personal way. And it feels like you're more like, yeah, it's just business and it's just how I make money and I enjoy it. And I'm here because it's a good industry to be in right now. But if that changes, I can change, you know, and it's just cool to see that. And so when you wrap that around the, do I sell or do I not sell conversation? Is it always kind of that mindset for you? Is, hey, if it makes the most sense, I'll do it. You know, I'll do what makes the most sense for my family, but my business serves my lifestyle, not the other way around. Is that kind of how you're thinking?
Yeah, it's so hard to know, like, you know, where my family will be at, where things will be. I mean, I try to just be open to whatever God's plan is for my life, right? And take that wherever that direction may go. So, but yeah, business should exist, I think, obviously to serve your customers, but also to serve you. And I think that it's easy to fall down that rabbit hole of, you know, committing so much to the work that we can't focus on the other things. The one thing I will say that was so good about the janitorial business is I learned very early on that I could only clean so many toilets. Like I clocked the 50,000 step day on my Apple Watch or whatever. I can't do that every single day, and that's my max. And so from early on, I had to figure out how to hire people that were twice my age and convince them to clean toilets for me. And so I think if more people can kind of delegate earlier in their business, that can lend, you know, to their advantage as well. But yeah, I mean, your identity is going to be tied up into something. It's just probably not work for me.
Well, I think what's really interesting here, you mentioned this other side project, and maybe you'll reveal what that is in a few months, but is any of your current team working on that with you?
So that was a super fun part about this new project, right? And just having some funds in general, is when I started to spin up this other project, and I'll tell you guys, it's a faith-based job board. It's for people that are in my religious community, which I happen to be Catholic, you know, take it or leave it. People have lots of opinions about us. That's fine. But it's a job board that will help people who want to work for Catholic institutions, whether it's churches, schools, nonprofits, and that sort of thing, because it's hard for people that care about their faith to find a job that aligns with that, right? And so from the get-go with that project, I actually hired somebody to do a lot of the blocking and tackling, and it's been amazing. And the ball keeps moving forward, even though I'm over at SM Bash in Salt Lake City having a beer with you guys. Things are still moving on that side, and that's been really fun to not have to do it all myself.
That's incredible. I think what strikes me is you kind of have this I don't know, knowledge base and team built up where, as you do have other entrepreneurial itches, you can deploy them into that. I've seen the inverse with a lot of accounting firms, like they start in the US and then they develop offshore teams and then they end up spinning out other staffing companies, or they spin out like white labeling offshore businesses. And you've kind of done the inverse, right? So you can deploy your Elevate and Delegate team into this job board that you're building, or maybe it's your next tech venture. If you have an e-commerce store, I think, you know, you can deploy them in there. So you've almost got your own little venture studio that you build.
That is something that I think more people should approach it that way. If there was one thing that I could try and communicate to as many people as possible, it would be, I'm the one getting to talk to these business owners every single day, right, who are utilizing offshore talent in their business. I can 100%, you know, we talked about my EBITDA, my profits, whatever. It's great, right? Super fun. The people that I am working with who are building a lot of times US-based businesses and utilizing offshore talent, well, that is 1,000 times the opportunity of what I'm doing. I'm talking about people making several million dollars several times over, and they've got a team in offshore that they're augmenting with their US team, and they're not trying to be ideological about, I need to hire offshore or I need to hire onshore. They're just grabbing the pieces to build the best possible company that they can, and it redounds to their benefit because they have great margins and they're not a recruiting company. They're something bigger than that, right? And so I think more people should chase the opportunities that they can use the offshore talent in, then, you know, recruiting, it's good, but it's not the best.
Cool. Well, Brian, I want to make sure you get a chance to mention your business and how people can get in touch with you, because I'm sure there's people listening that, I mean, all of us are looking for talent, and we have room probably for one or two team members that could be from offshore to really help us grow our business and delegate a lot of things. So, like, how do people get in touch with you about that service?
Yeah, if you go to elevateanddelegate.com, there's a contact where you can book a Calendly meeting with me directly. I still talk to all of our clients. I have a lot of support behind me, as you know, but I still do the first call for everybody. So even if you're not sold on it or you're looking at a bunch of different options, we recruit exclusively from the Philippines. But even if you're looking at other countries as well, book some time. Let's talk. I'd love to, you know, advise you on best practices. Most people we're recruiting are around $6 an hour, and we charge $3,000 for the first hire and $2,500 for any hires after the first one. So, we try to be the budget friendly option for, you know, Jack's Plumbing or Cindy's Cleaning or whatever it might be, who don't want to pay $3,000-$4,000 a month for this kind of thing.
Awesome. Reach out now before he sells a piece of his company and they raise the prices on, no, I'm kidding.
What's your Twitter handle, Brian?
It's Sully Business. So S-U-L-L-Y Business.
Cool. You know, I think, to kind of put a bow on it, Patrick, I'd almost label him as in between inspired or acquired, you know, yeah. like Brian, your open-mindedness, your curiosity, your willingness to explore opportunities, potentially partner, use Philippine talent, and all these different elements of you, it's going to make you tremendously versatile and tremendously successful in your career and in your life. And I'm excited to see where it goes. I have no idea where you're going to be in 10 years because your life could go in so many directions. But for anybody out there that thinks, you know, Bryant might be, you know, the right partner, or you'd like to entertain, you know, being a partner with him on this, like, just reach out. He's very open and willing to talk, and, you know, maybe magic will happen from just being on this show or being around me and Patrick. But, you know, we're excited to see your growth, whether that's, just continue to organically grow and then sell when the opportunity is right and you've got another project you want to do with all of your time, or if that's taking on a partner and growing something bigger together. But yeah, I could see it going either way. How about you, Patrick?
For sure. I definitely think there's a lot more chapters to all the different business ventures that you'll have. And this will probably be a flywheel for a while for you.
I appreciate you guys. And yeah, I'm excited to see whatever happens next.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it.